Drank a bunch of milk right before this, and I mean that's just always a bad idea, you know. That's just always a bad idea. Drink that much milk at once, I can feel it just like churning inside me now. Ugh. But for you out there, listener, I will soldier on. We'll do this. So I'm Thomas Ella. I'm the man behind What Is Delicious, and I'm doing a one person deliberations for Game of the Year. And I've already done Most Disappointing and Most Potential, and so now you'll get to hear me decide what I think the best surprise of 2011 was. What game I thought sort of took me by surprise, you know, which is, you know, kind of self-explanatory. Took me by surprise, like I wasn't really excited for it, or I didn't have high hopes for it, and then I ended up loving it more than I could have imagined. So let me just go ahead and announce my list here. So I've got Mortal Kombat, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, Infamous 2, Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon, Tron Evolution, which came out in late December 2010, but whatever, I'm still counting it, Catherine, and El Shaddai. You know, there weren't a ton of games. This is something I've realized through these awards, is that there weren't a ton of games that I thought were that great this year. So this isn't the best surprise list I've ever had, because Mortal Kombat, Call of Duty, Infamous, you know, all very big games. So it's kind of weird picking those as like a best surprise, but let's just get into it. Mortal Kombat. I say Mortal Kombat because, you know, I wasn't really excited for Mortal Kombat until the demo came out, and then I played that demo a lot. It was just like Scorpion versus Sonya Blade or something. I don't know. And you didn't have a lot of options, just like one fight pretty much. But it was really fun because it was just those combat mechanics. And, you know, the game turned out to be awesome, you know, except for the online play. But, like, the game turned out to be really awesome. And I wasn't expecting that because it's Mortal Kombat, y'all. And Mortal Kombat is often really bad. Like, the first few Mortal Kombat games, I thought, were pretty atrocious. You know, people have fondness for them, but I feel like those are pretty awful games. Which, I mean, is only illustrated by how much Mortal Kombat has changed since then. Whereas, like, something like Street Fighter plays, you know, about the same as it used to. But, you know, I did get into Mortal Kombat Armageddon, and but that's about it, you know. Mortal Kombat Armageddon was, like, the only Mortal Kombat I ever got into. So I wasn't really that excited for, like, hey, a Mortal Kombat reboot where everyone keeps saying how good it feels that they're going back to the old style. And I was like, what do you mean they're going back to the old style? I don't want them to go back to the old style. Get a new style. So that game turned out to be awesome. I said in my review that it was one of the most, or no, I think I said just straight the most fun fighting game ever made. And I don't know, I probably would stand behind that now if the online play were better. But I do feel a little weird about this being on the best surprise list, considering that it won most disappointing because of the online play. So it's kind of weird to, it would be kind of weird to have the same game theoretically potentially win most disappointing and best surprise. Like, that'd be a little weird. But I don't know, I guess I'll come back to it. Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3. I don't understand all the Call of Duty hate. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, people act like Call of Duty represents the lowest point in gaming, in, like, popular gaming. It represents all that is bad in gaming. But, like, what games do you think are so much, you know, artsier than Call of Duty? You know, like, are you talking about Uncharted 3, a game which got, like, nearly universal praise, but you kill like 1,000 guys there, but you do it with a smile and with a little bit of charm, so it's okay. Like, are you talking about like Killzone, where you just have the dumbest dialogue I've heard in a long, long time? Like I don't understand like what game you're talking about when people say like, oh, you know, Call of Duty is evil. Call of Duty represents all that is bad about gaming. Whatever. You know what? Call of Duty is fun. And that's what I remembered with Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, is I always skipped the off-year Treyarch stuff. So I haven't played a Call of Duty game since Modern Warfare 2. And it was getting to the point where I wasn't that excited for it because of all the World War 3 stuff they were showing off. It just seemed dumb. But then I played it and I thought the campaign was great. I thought it had a really great conclusion to the Modern Warfare saga. I thought the World War 3 stuff turned out to be better than I would have ever imagined it to be. I thought that game had a lot of really cool scripted moments, and the multiplayer was still awesome. And the wave-based survival mode they added, I had a blast with. Like, that is such a fun mode, especially like even by myself. Like, by myself, I would just go into it and I would keep fighting until, you know, either I'm being so overrun by like juggernauts and C4 laden dogs and you know, helicopters or whatever, or I would have to go live my life. You know, I would have to like stop the game because, oh fuck, I'm about to be late for class because I've been playing Call of Duty for so long. And that's what I really like about Call of Duty, is like the matches are all about like 10 minutes online, and so it's just like the perfect 10-minute time waster. It's like the perfect 10-minute time waster. All I have to do is just sit there, turn on the game, pop into the online, play for 10 minutes, feel really fulfilled and good about myself because I'm not bad at that game, and then I can leave and it's great. Like, it's like a no commitment sort of game. But yeah, so that's why Call of Duty's on this list. Like, clearly it's a pretty big juggernaut. So, but I don't think best surprise has to be defined by like an indie game, or you know, like some game that's like really small that like no one even heard about. It's just a game that I didn't expect to be great and turned out to be great. Like Infamous 2. Check out that segue. So Infamous 2, I loved Infamous 1. I loved Infamous 1. So it's kind of weird to have Infamous 2 as a best surprise, but the thing is, everything they announced about Infamous 2, and I mean literally everything they announced about Infamous 2, before its release, I thought they were trying to destroy their own franchise. Like, I really did. Because, like, first thing they do is, hey, we're redesigning Cole. And now instead of, like, this gruff, you know, balding, or, like, this gruff, bald, you know, kind of unlikable to some people protagonist, now he's this sort of trendy, stupid, hip protagonist. And I that was the first thing, is that I didn't like that because, okay, new voice actor and new look for Cole, and he's in a new city because they switched to New Marais, like a New Orleans styled city. And I'm like, okay, well, what makes this like Infamous other than that this guy also has electric powers? Like, he's clearly not Cole. Like, he's not Cole. Just because you say he's Cole doesn't mean he's Cole. So, oh, and then they announced the new moral choice system was getting a little bit of a revamp, in that now it's all based on Nix and Quo, your two female like sidekicks, which is like, okay, well, that's dumb because now you have Nix being the clearly evil one because she's wearing like tribal stuff and she's black and she's wearing red and she keeps saying stuff about murder. And Quo, who's always good because she's Asian and wearing like a business suit and like whatever, like that sounded worse than Cole just narrating to himself a moral choice. Like, that really sounded worse to me. And Zeke, oh yeah, like Zeke, your stupid, awful, dumbass partner from Infamous One, who was one of my least favorite characters ever. I don't know, that really bad character. And they're like, you know, we're going to make him more likable. We want to keep Zeke in the game. We want him to be more likable. He'll redeem himself. Don't worry. And I was like, I don't want him to redeem himself. I just want you to cut him from the game. He pretty hardcore betrays Cole in the first game. I don't know how you can really make that right. And you know what they did? They deal with his betrayal toward Cole. They make Nixon Kuo less awful than they sounded. You know, they're still not perfect, but I thought they were actually really good as opposed to being, you know, really bad. And they switch Cole back so that he looks more or less like he did in the first game. So they addressed all those things, and all the while they were adding so many really cool new mechanics. You know, they added this sick ice jump that will sort of have like a little mountain of ice almost appear below you wherever you are, and it will propel you upwards. And then they, like, the smart city design comes in there, because then they had like these, I don't know, like wires that would just sort of go above streets. It was like directly above the street. There were these wires. It wasn't like a telephone wire. I don't know actually what it was, but it was just these wires that would be above streets, and Cole can, you know, do his like electric grind on them. And so he, you know, you want to be up on those wires because then you can travel faster. And that ice jump was designed so that you get to the perfect height that you can just press the ice jump button and land on those wires. And so it just represents a real careful thought about design and traversal and trying to make things fun. Because that was a really satisfying mechanic, that ice jump. But again, it's kind of weird calling Infamous 2 the best surprise. But I don't know. I really enjoyed that game. Like, I really enjoyed that game. For a while, not to get too much into the game of the year talk, but Dead Space 2 was my game of the year. And then Infamous 2 came out. And then Infamous 2 was my game of the year. You know, at that point in the year. And I think in the review I said it was like one of the most perfect games I've ever played. And I stand by that, because I couldn't find much fault in that game. Like, it looked gorgeous. It played incredibly well. It, you know, it bucked all my expectations of it. I thought that game was going to be terrible, and it turned out to be amazing. Amazing. But let me move on. Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon. I really enjoyed Earth Defense Force. I thought it'd be kind of crappy, but you know, it was actually pretty entertaining. Like, you kind of need to make that game more entertaining, like, while you're playing. Like, it's kind of on you to make it more entertaining. Like, I would always play music with it. Like, I played, you know, Aha's Take on Me. I played some Pendulum, some drum and bass. You find ridiculous things to play in the background. And it makes that game so much more fun, because it puts everything in a different light. Because that game's already kind of campy and silly, but they don't take it far enough on their own. So you kind of have to ham it up for them. Which actually, you know, it works out. Because then you're, you know, while I was playing, you know, Take On Me, you got, you know, Take On Me going in the background. And then I'm just over here slaughtering, like, these giant ants and spiders. And it was a blast. It was so fun. Or you know, you'd have, like, Pendulum, you know, drum and bass just... And, you know, all the while you're, you know, flying around in this jetpack, just shooting these spiders and these giant ants. And there's just this drum and bass going on. And, you know, the highs and lows in the song, you feel like you should kick up the action occasionally, because all of a sudden the song takes off. And you're like, okay, you know, I feel compelled to play harder, or, you know, play more viciously because of this. And I thought that worked really well. You know, I thought they could have done more with that game to make it better on its own. But I think that game, as it is still pretty fun. So, Tron Evolution. Here we go. I loved Tron Legacy. I know a lot of people that hate Tron Legacy, but I think Tron Legacy was a great fucking movie. And I think Tron Evolution was way better than I thought it was going to be. Like, I just remember, thinking, wow, this game looks beautiful. Like, because it has that Tron aesthetic. Like, it's not that it's like the most, I don't know, like, it doesn't have like the highest fidelity. Like, it doesn't look like a Battlefield or something. But man, that game looks good. Like, it looks good, and it plays better than I thought, and the story's better than I thought it would be. And they have multiplayer where you're on light cycles, and you're just riding your light cycle around. You can make these 90-degree turns all ridiculously, and you've got the light trail behind you, and it's so fun. Like, I thought it was a really fun game. Every once in a while on Gamefly, I keep checking to see how much it costs, and it'll only be like, $8 or something. And I'm like, oh, I should buy that. I should just buy that. But then I can never logically justify to myself why I should buy Tron Evolution. Like, I've already played it. Probably no one's playing the multiplayer now anyway. So it's just kind of weird. But I really enjoyed that game. The only problem here is that it was in late December 2010 and not 2011. But I feel like it was so late that I'll probably cut it later for that, but I really enjoy Tron Evolution. Catherine. Oh, Catherine. I started getting into the Persona games only because of the giant bomb endurance run, and I avoided it. I avoided the giant bomb endurance run for a while because I thought Persona 4 sounds like a really bad RPG that I don't want to watch. And then eventually I started watching it, and it was really awesome. And then I played Persona 3 while the Giant Bomb Endurance one was going on. I was so inspired that I just went out and bought Persona 3, and that game turned out to be awesome. And Persona 4 was awesome. I mind you, I only watched it. I didn't play it. But Persona 4 was awesome. And so you have this sort of build-up to Catherine of like, oh man, the Persona team is putting out their first next-gen game. Sweet. Catherine. It looks weird, it looks crazy. Can't wait. Looks a little more adult. Can't wait. But Catherine's a weird game. Like, it's all about like these block climbing puzzles, and then the rest of the game is just like responding to text messages and stuff. Which, I mean, it's a weird game. It's a really weird game, but I liked how it gave me questions, because it between some of the block puzzle questions it will or sorry between some of the block puzzles it will ask you questions and poll you and then compare the results of what you gave to what other people gave, and I really liked that mechanic because sometimes they would ask questions like, the one that comes to mind is like, is it easier to love or to be loved? And then I had to stop and think, and I would pause the game because, well, I mean, it gives you infinite time, but the character Vincent keeps like saying, oh, I don't know what to choose, and that was kind of annoying. So I just paused the game, and I would sort of think about like my past relationships, and was it easier for me to like them, or was it easier to know that they liked me, and have like a real tough decision based on that, because I was taking that seriously. I was taking all those decisions very seriously because the game tells you to. So, I really enjoyed that game. Like, I know a lot of people got endings that were kind of crappy because that game has like eight endings or something, and only a couple of them are really good. I got one that I was really happy with. I got the one where Catherine and Vincent get married. His the Catherine with a K, where they get married and they have a happy life, and it's basically the true Catherine ending or whatever, the true K ending, where I don't know, I really enjoyed that game. It was gorgeous, it was interesting, it said a lot about our society. I don't know. It was thought-provoking in a way that a lot of games aren't. Like, the block puzzle stuff eventually got kind of tiresome, but for a while I thought it was actually pretty fun. It was pretty satisfying when you got good at it and then you could sort of breeze through most levels. But then near the end, it got way too hard. And eventually, I'm not gonna lie, I just started looking it up on YouTube. Like, I would just look it up. I was like, oh, okay, well, I can't do this one. Like, I would do it once, and then I would realize, oh, this isn't gonna happen. And then I would just look it up on YouTube. But yeah, I really enjoyed Catherine. And El Shaddai, Ascension of the Metatron. I enjoyed this game. I didn't love it. I didn't think it was as good as I was hoping it would be, because the combat got kind of boring and the level design got kind of boring, but it was gorgeous to look at. The art style was so weird in that game and so beautiful, but I don't know, I didn't think the combat was that satisfying. And I'm a guy who loves stuff like God of War more than Devil May Cry. So hearing that game was the Devil May Cry dude's next project was like, I'm probably not gonna like it that much. But I liked it. I thought the religious theme was cool. I thought, I don't know. I thought that was a premise that you wouldn't normally see in a game. Is, hey, let's talk about the Book of Enoch. And I thought they did really cool stuff. It was really crazy sometimes. But I just thought they didn't do enough to make it, I don't know, interesting and keep the experience varied. Oh, but man, that game was weird. That game was so weird. Sometimes you just fight bosses, but you're supposed to lose, but you don't know that you're supposed to lose. And that would happen all the time. So, like, I would go into a boss fight, and I'd be trying my hardest to, like, defeat this boss, because there's no differentiation between, like, oh, I'm supposed to lose this fight or not. And then all of a sudden I would lose, and I'm like, oh, well, shit, now I gotta do it again. And I would have to do it again. But then the next time I get to a boss almost exactly like that, I would lose, and then the game would move on. I'm like, well, what? I don't understand which bosses I'm supposed to be winning against. This is insane. But that, again, that was a really distinctive game, a really unique game, and I don't know, it was cool. It was cool. Okay, so now I have to cut, let's see, I have to cut four of these games, right? Yep, four. I have to cut four of these games. So I can have one winner, two runner-ups, and the rest just kind of get left by the wayside. I'm going to cut Mortal Kombat because, again, I think it's weird to have it as most disappointing and best surprise. It was a good surprise, but it was also really disappointing in a way. Like, that online play was so bad that, you know, Mortal Kombat might have won best surprise had it not been for that online play, and instead it won most disappointing. Because it was so good except for that online play that, I don't know, it ruined that whole experience for me. Well, not the whole, I mean, obviously not the whole experience. It just, the online play was bad enough that now Mortal Kombat sits on a shelf collecting dust instead of being in my PS3 all the time like I had hoped it would be. But, you know, wow, that, like, such a fun fighting system in that game. Best story mode in any fighting game ever. Like, they have now set the standard for single player in all fighting games. And I think any fighting game that comes out now, obviously Capcom and all the other Japanese companies don't care, and they're not going to pay attention to Mortal Kombat because it's American, but I think that now has set the standard for myself of what to expect from a fighting game, and that's why, you know, like, the next Street Fighter, like Street Fighter X Tekken or whatever, I think is going to be kind of disappointing to me, because I don't think they're going to have as good of a training mode as Mortal Kombat, because Street Fighter never has a good training mode. I don't think they're going to have as good of challenges. I don't think they're going to have, I don't know, but whatever. Cutting Mortal Kombat. Call of Duty, I'm going to keep for now. I'm going to keep. Because, again, I didn't have that high of expectations until all of a sudden, like, 2 days before the game came out, or, like, the day before or something, I was just like, dude, I want to get into some Call of Duty. I can't knock at this game. And then I went out and I reserved it or whatever, and then I went out with my friends. We each got a copy, and we ran past the giant line of people waiting, and just making ridiculous noises and yelling obscenities and holding up our copies of the game like assholes because we were in the PS3 line and not the Xbox line, which was, oh my god, the PS3 line was so short. We get there and the Xbox line is just like wrapped around the building, and we're just like, oh, I don't want to wait in this. And then I ask one of the GameStop employees, and I'm like, is this really the line? And they're like, no, well, no, the PS3 line's over there. And it's like five guys or something. And it's like, yes, yes, suck it, all you Xbox players. It's good to be unpopular because now I get my game first. But yeah, that was fun. And then, but then, you know, Call of Duty turned out to be awesome after that little tangent. Call of Duty was awesome. I really enjoyed Call of Duty. I was, you know, I have played a lot of Call of Duty. I played a lot of Modern Warfare 3. Me and my, like, the addition of split-screen multiplayer alone is almost enough to cinch at least a nomination, because me and my roommates will just hop online together and just dominate. And it's really fun to just sit on the same couch, on the same screen, and play a game that's not Halo online, you know? Infamous 2 I'm keeping. Because, again, I thought that game was going to be bad. I thought that game was going to be terrible. But it turned out to be awesome. It turned out to be, like, my favorite game of the year for a while. Like, it turned out to be, you know, I call that game one of the most perfect games I've ever played. I would be remiss if that wasn't on here. Earth Defense Force. I'm going to cut Earth Defense Force because, like I said, you know, you kind of have to make your own fun in that game. And I think if it was going to be best surprise, I would like to see Earth Defense Force do a little more. You know, have a little bit more enemy variation. Have a little bit, you know, better mission structure. Have a little bit more variation in the mission structure. Have, I don't know, just better stuff in it. You know, like, it's fun, but it's, you know, it's dumb fun, and I can appreciate dumb fun probably more than most people, but I don't know. I think they could have done more with Earth Defense Force, and they didn't, and I was sort of left to make my own fun with it, which, you know, worked, and that was a really fun game while I played it, but, you know, still. Tron, God, Why did it have to come out 2010? I'm going to cut it because it came out in 2010. It's late 2010, it's December, but it's 2010, and I'm pretty strict about that kind of stuff. You know, I'm doing my Game of the Year awards in January, so it's, you know, I did them in January last time. That's the thing, is I did them in January last time, so I should have considered it for last year's, but I don't think I played it until after my Game of the Year awards last year, so, but whatever. I don't know if it would have won anyway, so, it probably wouldn't have won, but it, you know, I'm glad that I mentioned Tron Evolution here. People should play that game. Well, people should rent that game, or get it when it's like $5, which it basically is. Yeah. Catherine. I think Catherine stays. I ended up liking Catherine more than I thought I would. It was fun. It was fun. Like, the block puzzle stuff was fun. The adult themes I thought were really cool. I thought that game was just fascinating. I thought it was fascinating, and I thought it led to a lot of great discussion in the media about that game and about society and about, I don't know. I just thought it was a really fun game, and I thought it was mature in a different way. Like, not mature like Gears of War, like, eat shit and die, and Dom, Anya, and, you know, ripping dudes, you know, and curb stomping them and chainsawing them or whatever. I thought it was mature in like a, hey, let me ask you this really tough question about love or about, you know, cheating on a significant other. You know, let me ask you these questions about how you deal with this and not just have blood and sex and guts. Like, it had some sex. I mean, yeah, actually, no. Catherine never actually had sex in it. It just had implied sex. But yeah, I really enjoyed Catherine. I thought that was a really unique experience. And El Shaddai, I'm also going to cut. Because El Shaddai kind of wore on me by the end. Like, I was really impressed with it in the beginning, and then, like a lot of games, it sort of wore on me, because, I don't know, maybe it was just too long. Like, I have a big problem with length of games. I think games should be shorter. I think that's one of the great things holding us back, is that games are too long, and so they require a lot of filler, they require more money to make, they require more of a commitment, and so I think a lot of games, would be better off if they were shorter, had less filler, like Call of Duty, which is awesome throughout. And they would also be cheaper and more mainstream that way. But yeah, I'm cutting El Shaddai. It was a really visually striking game, and that's about it. So what does that leave me with? Oh, I need to start actually deleting these. Yeah, that's the sound of me deleting. Okay, so got rid of El Shaddai, got rid of Tron, got rid of Earth Defense Force, and got rid of Mortal Kombat. Oh, well, that right there just leaves me with three. Cool. So Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3, Infamous 2, and Catherine. I've narrowed it down, so now I just got to choose a winner. The rest of the two fall as just runner-ups. All right, I don't think Catherine wins. I think Catherine is a good runner-up, but I don't think Catherine takes it all, basically. So I think it comes down between Call of Duty and Infamous 2. Both such high-profile, big-budget games that I'm calling them the best surprise. Ah, that's funny. But, again, like, I really had a lot of fun with Call of Duty's multiplayer. I had a lot of fun with its single player. I had a lot of fun with its co-op. A lot of fun with the wave-based survival stuff. You know, there's nothing more satisfying in a shooter, I think, than seeing a guy on a heartbeat sensor, you know, sneaking up behind him, he can't hear you, and then just, like, knifing him in the back or executing him because he has no idea you're there, and you only knew he was there because of a heartbeat sensor. Or because you have a heartbeat sensor and you're just hiding in the shadows somewhere, or, you're walking around and everything's quiet and it's kind of tense, and you almost feel like you're in an Aliens movie, and then that heartbeat sensor starts, you know, beeping. You know, and something's getting closer to you and closer, and you're just starting to get more and more nervous about whether or not you're going to be able to survive. That's also really fun. I thought they balanced it better than Modern Warfare 2. I thought Modern Warfare 2 had big balance problems with the double shotgun dudes who would just walk around or just run around with 1887 shotguns and just fuck everything up. And the guys who could infinitely sprint, those guys were also really annoying. They could like leap off buildings and be totally fine, and they could sprint infinitely, and they could lunge forward with their knife, and it was really frustrating to play against those dudes and the double shotgun dudes. It was super annoying, and it literally, those two things alone broke what should have been a fantastic game for me. And Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 fixes all that. I haven't run into anything that broken. Like, I don't think I've run into anything that I feel like is broken. Like, there have been balance tweaks, and, you know, that game is only going to get better over time. But I think, you know, what they shipped with was great. Like, it plays well. It didn't crash on me or anything. It was fun. I feel like I did well. The Call of Duty Elite system, I think, is actually really cool. I thought the map design, you know, while not, like, visually interesting, is, or like, I guess memorable. It's not memorable map design for the most part. There are some, but it's not memorable in the way that Call of Duty 4 and Modern Warfare 2's maps were. So that's kind of a knock against it, I guess, but I don't know. I really had a lot of fun. Infamous 2, another game that I really, really enjoyed. God damn, I love that game. It's so good. It's just so good just traveling around the city. Like, it's so good. Ah, like, they increased your gliding powers, so you're a little bit faster. You're more mobile in this game than you were in Infamous 1. Like, they give you a late game power where you can tether to things, sort of like a grappling hook. And so, you know, before, Cole would have to, like, climb to stuff, right? But here, now you can just, like, latch onto the top of a building and then just start gliding or something. You know, it's kind of like Batman in a way. Like, I feel like it's kind of like Arkham City. You know, it's like that, or Just Cause 2. You know, it's so perfect and so fun just to like travel around the city. And then I got so distracted with side missions and collecting all the blast shards. And, you know, both endings of that game are fucking phenomenal. Like both, it's really rare that a game will actually wrap itself up. And Call of Duty and Infamous 2 both do that. Only Infamous 2 does it twice because there's two endings in that game, and both are kind of final. Well, you know, okay, the evil side could go on, but whatever. It's just so refreshing to see that. And also Infamous 2 has all that user generated stuff, which I thought was actually really fun. Some of them I played, you know, were really bad, predictably, because, you know, it's user-generated content. But I thought a lot of it was really fun. It was a gorgeous game. It was a fun game. Like, a lot of cool new powers. You know, like, they really did a lot to that formula to make it more fun, to make it better, to make it more engaging. You know, you go back and you play the first Infamous after you've played a lot of Infamous 2, and it feels kind of old. Like, it's one of those sequels where it's like, it kind of makes the first game feel old and archaic. And, you know, especially with the user-generated content, like, technically, I could go back to Infamous 2 right now, even though I've beaten it twice and gotten the Platinum Trophy and done everything there is to do in that game. I could go back into it now, and there's still a lot for me to do. Because I haven't played the user-generated stuff that much, I'll admit. You know, the stuff I played, I did enjoy, but I moved on to other games. I played a lot of Infamous 2 in the span of like 2 weeks, and so I decided to take a break from it. But I could go back now, and there's just a ton of user-generated content for me to play. And a lot of it's going to be bad, but a lot of it's probably going to be really great. I played some really great stuff. So, but which one's better? Which one was a better surprise? I guess, what were my expectations like? I guess for Call of Duty, I was just sort of middling on it. I'm like, I'm sure it'll be good, but I'm not really excited about it. And then all of a sudden I got really excited about it before it came out. Whereas like Infamous 2, like I was really down on it. And then as they started to fix some of the errors they had made, like replacing Cole completely, I started to get a little more excited for it, but you know, like, oh, and, like, adding, like, fire and ice powers and you know, the stupid monster design with, like, lobster, where it's, like, a zombie, but with, like, lobster claws as for arms. Like, that just looks so goofy. But, yeah, like, there were just so many things that, I was like, ugh, like, that just looks bad. Like, I don't want to play that game. Like, I think I probably had lower expectations for Infamous 2. Because I didn't really know whether or not that game was going to be good or bad until it came out. And then, you know, it opens with that sick boss fight against the Beast. And then, you know, and then you constantly have, every time you press start, there's just this map of the United States, of like the East Coast. And you're all the way down at the bottom in New Orleans, or in New Marais. And then the Beast starts out in New York, in Empire City. And it's cutting this huge swath, like destroying everything in its path. And I don't know, it's occasionally the game would also be like, hey, it's, you know, 2 days until the Beast gets here. It's 48 or it's, you know, 36 hours until the Beast gets here. 1 day until the Beast gets here. It was a really cool, intense mechanic because it was like, dude, I don't think Cole's going to have enough time. Or like, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, the Beast is here in New Marais. And I'm like, shit, we're not ready for this. I'm not ready for the Beast to be in New Marais yet. Like, what? Get him out of here. I'm not ready yet. Like, what's going on? And I thought they played with that mechanic really well. And I thought, you know, there were just so many cool things about that game. There were so many cool things about that game that I did not expect to be cool. There were, I don't know, it's coming off a game that I really enjoyed, Infamous 1, but I still did not have high expectations for it. I thought it was going to be really bad, and it turned out to be really awesome. Yeah, I mean, that kind of defines that award. Oh, I played a lot of Call of Duty, though. And you know what? No. I played a lot of Call of Duty, but I had higher expectations for Call of Duty than I did for Infamous. I thought Infamous was going to actively be bad. Whereas Call of Duty, I thought it was going to be, it's probably going to be okay, but I'm not excited for it. And then all of a sudden I got excited for it. And then I went out and reserved it. And, I was decently excited for it before it came out. Like, all of a sudden I was excited for it. And then it turned out to be awesome. Whereas, like, Infamous 2, like, I was not excited for it. And then I got it, and it took up all my time. Which is, like, the definition of my award is, I think in the description, it's like, I didn't expect this game to be good, but then it ended up taking up all my time. And Infamous 2 took up all my time for, like, 2 or 3 straight weeks over the summer. All I did was play Infamous 2. That's, like, all I did. Call of Duty, I've played a lot of Call of Duty. That's a great game. That's a fucking awesome game. I think that game does not get enough credit. I think people attribute too many things to it. Like, I know Zero Punctuation just had his top 5 best and worst games of 2011 list, and he named Modern Warfare 3 and Battlefield 3 the tied for top worst game. And he said it's not because of the quality of the games, it's because of what they represent. And I think that's just silly. Is they don't represent anything. Like, don't fault them for what you perceive them to represent, I think. Like, I think Call of Duty is some of the most engaging first-person shooter storytelling I've ever played. Probably the most engaging first-person shooter storytelling I've ever played. Because I can remember the names of the characters. I care about what happens to them. I know what's going on in this world. Like, everyone jokes about how, like, oh, I don't even remember what happened in the last Call of Duty. Just nukes and shit. No. I remember what happened in the last Call of Duty. If you don't remember, it's because you weren't paying attention, and then you just like to boil it down for your argument. I thought Call of Duty was great. It took me by surprise, but not as big of a surprise as Infamous 2. Infamous 2 was a fucking phenomenal game. I really enjoyed it. I would vote for it again in a heartbeat. And, I thought it was gonna be terrible. It was awesome. And that is why Infamous 2 wins my Best Surprise award for 2011. So I guess I'll see you next time when I decide what my game of the year for 2011 was. See ya.